And then that thing that Paul says in verse 17, the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith for faith, out of faith into faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Have you heard that? Have you sung that song? The just shall live by faith. This is a quote of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Could you turn to Habakkuk in your Bible? If you have one at the end of a row, Habakkuk is on page 948. If you're not familiar with where Habakkuk is, go to the table of contents first. Find Habakkuk and turn to it in your Bible, because it is just 2-3 pages long, and you're through it before you're done with it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You also find this same quote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. This is used frequently by people writing, well, by Paul, and it depends on whether you think Paul wrote Hebrews or not, right? So the prophet Habakkuk, he's generally believed to have written his book in the mid to late 7th century BC. That means the 600s BC. Not long before the Babylonian siege and they captured Jerusalem, which is the southern kingdom. So the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, Judah. And Israel was conquered by the Assyrian Empire that came in and took them away. But now Babylon is big on the horizon, and Babylon has conquered, or the people that constitute the Babylonian Empire have overtaken and absorbed the Assyrian Empire, and Israel, the 10 tribes, are already vanquished and vassal servant kingdoms of these people, but now Nebuchadnezzar is coming for Jerusalem, Judah. That's how the story goes when you look at this. The capture of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Habakkuk is writing about the coming judgment when you look at Habakkuk. The Babylonians will represent this judgment when they invade Judah and Israel. God has judged his people for not following him. They were his chosen people. They were set apart. They identified as church, if you will. We are Israel. We are Judah. We are the descendants of Abraham. We follow God. We believe in God. We are God's people, but they do not follow him. And Paul is using a quote from that type of prophet to speak to us this morning in Romans. God makes his will known, and people choose to follow it or not. Do you understand that principle? God makes his will known, and people choose to follow it or not. In the 7th century BC, Assyria invaded the top 10, and now God made it clear that when Assyria conquered Israel, that he did it because of their idolatry. Now, I don't know how versant you are in your scripture. I'm reading through the Bible this year, and I've read through that portion of 2 Kings and in Chronicles 2, where it says about how after Solomon, the kingdom separated. But the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, they set up golden calves to keep people from going down to Jerusalem. Now, golden calves is a no-brainer, isn't it? That's what Aaron put out there, and people danced around the Ten Commandments time. Everybody knows golden calves is a bad idea. How did that cat get around to just setting up golden calves? Except that he had no idea what the scripture said. He said, we need to have a separate worship center so they won't go down to Jerusalem. Let's set something up here, but we need something to worship. I got it. Let's imitate the other religions and do what they do. What do they do most? They do golden calves. Isn't that a good symbol of fertility and strength? Let's do calves. Blown away. Now, here, us, what do we set up in our lives that is a counterfeit of God? What do we set up in our lives that is not God, not how God said to worship him, but it gets our attention and effort and time? That's what's happened to these northern kingdom people. But do you know what? Even though God set it up so they would be vanquished, and he sent prophets and said, the reason that you're getting swept away is your idolatry. Even now, turn back to God, and they wouldn't. And Judah watched them get destroyed. And God's still defending Judah, though. You look at the life of Hezekiah. They're not going to come to you. They're not coming. Sennacherib is at your door and you think you'll die, but he's not coming. And they were preserved. Now, you would know that better if you were at Jesus and Pizza on Friday, because we talked about how the angel of the Lord killed 186,000 people overnight, and we calculated it. Imagine if it was the longest night of the year in the depth of winter, and you could pretend like it was 18 hours long. How many people you have to kill per second to kill 186,000 people? And it was literally 3 people per second for that many people to die overnight. The angel of the Lord. It's either made up stuff or it's real stuff, folks. It either happened or it didn't, but when the Assyrian army woke up, there was a lot of them dead, and the other ones booked and ran away. This Habakkuk is writing to people who saw that sort of deliverance, the mighty hand of God, and still succumbed to idolatry. Good people, faithful people who have seen the mighty hand of God, when they lapse and give it up, still fall outside of the will of God by not following him. And here's Habakkuk talking to this kind of people that didn't learn by the examples that God set. This is the stuff. So Habakkuk chapter 1, look at verse 12, and I'll just go to chapter 2, verse 4, so we could finish with the quote that Paul uses. So, oh God, what am I going to tell these people? Here's what you tell the people, Habakkuk, starting at verse 12. Speaking to God, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as a judgment, those people that are coming, the Babylonians. And you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil cannot look at wrong. And then, why do you look idly at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? Habakkuk, why are you letting Nebuchadnezzar destroy? I'm one of the good ones. You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. This is Nebuchadnezzar. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net. He makes offering to his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury, and with his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? So it's Habakkuk, he's talking to God, and he's saying, God, this is happening. What does it mean? God, and then chapter 2, verse 1. I will make my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer concerning my complaint. God, I just prayed a prayer and now I'm listening for you. And I got to go back and tell the people, because I'm the prophet, I'm ready. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. If you let me interpret it that way. And the Lord answered me. So Habakkuk's telling you, God answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. Anybody waiting? Has anybody got a picture of it's gonna be? God, your promises. God, where are we going? When we started out, we thought this, and now we're here. What's next, God? And God says to Habakkuk, hold on, Charlie. God says to Habakkuk, this looks really bad. In fact, it is really bad. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. And now look what it says. Verse 4, behold, his soul, Nebuchadnezzar's soul, is puffed up. It is not right within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. And you see that Paul has evoked everyone's memory of Habakkuk by quoting that verse. Quite literally, if you translate the Hebrew literally, word by word, it can be read, but he who is righteous by faith shall live. Did you know that? The just shall live by faith. He who is righteous by faith shall live. And it brings us to the matter of justification again. Are you familiar with the term, the theological term? When Paul evokes the writings of Habakkuk, he's setting up a principle that stands throughout Scripture. We are saved by God. He who is righteous by faith shall live.